Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Now, I know there's a general lack of buzz for the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm aware of this, and the numbers back that up. But we do work on a sports talk radio show, so I would think there's more interest in these parts, although it's pretty much a suspenseless situation. More on that in a minute. But the Eastern Conference Finals, now a best of three. A best of three. Will we get a Game 7? Probably. Looks like we're going to a Game 7 at this moment. Talk to me in a couple days. But if you didn't watch the game, and I don't blame you, based on the numbers, nobody's watching these games. Kyle Lowry put up 25 points. The much maligned Kyle Lowry, who has vanished in many big games for Toronto. This not one of those nights, and the Raptors win by 18 points, a curb stomping of the Bucks. So the Eastern Conference Finals now even up, two wins apiece. Many in the reactionary media are claiming now that the pendulum has shifted, that because of this game and the dominant fashion Toronto won in, that everything now is in favor of Toronto and Milwaukee is reeling. So let's discuss the question, are you going to buy or sell that the Raptors now have a leg up in the Eastern Conference Finals? Of course I'm selling this. I'm using Maller math here, but 2-2 is not a leg up. 2-2's even. 2-2's exactly the same. So I'm going to sell this. Now, my thoughts here, you've got Uncle, Limburger, and Haymakers. And we'll put all of this into a pot. We'll make some authentic Canadian poutine. I love that, with the French fries and the cheese curds and the brown gravy. Is there a better meal than poutine? I don't think so. Anyway, all right, so A, Toronto, here's the way you look at this. And it's very hokey-ish. It's very Sportscaster 101. But all the Raptors did was hold serve. They held court at home. That's all they did. And I don't know how else to say that. I guess we could put some bells and whistles on it. But the Raptors won a couple games at home. Milwaukee won a couple games at home. Keep in mind that if the Raptors had lost either one of these games, then they would be on life support right now. This last game, which was just a few hours ago since we're doing the show in real time, was a complete takedown of the Milwaukee Bucks. The Toronto Raptors bench, which has been beat to a pulp, and rightfully so, they've deserved all the criticism. They have not performed. They have not carried the water for Toronto. But in this game, guys like Fred VanVleet and Norman Powell were lighting up the scoreboard. And Serge Ibaka, who used to be good, those guys, VanVleet, Ibaka, and Powell combined for 48 points. Toronto was plus 25 in bench scoring. Now, there was some extended garbage time in the fourth quarter that enhanced some of those numbers. But not too much, because Norman Powell was outplaying the headliner, Kawhi Leonard, for much of this game.
Who?
I don't know. Norman Powell. That's a...
Never heard of him.
It's a tough name, right? I mean, your name Norman, you're probably going to get beat up when you're in school, right? They're going to goof on you. Yeah. All right, so listen, it was an impressive performance by the Raptors. Yes, 100%. But more stunning, as I just referenced, is the fact that the headliner, Kawhi Leonard, was outpaced by Norman Powell. Leonard had just 5 points at halftime in this game. You saw the game, you know what I'm talking about there. And the Raptors were still up by 10, and Kawhi Leonard had 5 points. And then he had 11 points in the third quarter. So he played pretty well in the third quarter. He finishes with 19 points. But to keep things, we have to keep things in some context here. It's not like the Raptors got extra style points. It's not like they got two wins. They didn't get two wins for winning these games, or this last game, in blowout fashion. And the other thing, and I see these stories, these glowing stories about Toronto and how, you know, the Raptors bench overwhelms the Bucks, and it's the turning point game. I keep seeing that phrase, turning point game, and I want to punch someone. I would like to punch someone when I see that, because I know, and I have preached here on the microphones of Fox Sports Radio over the years, there is no such thing as momentum. Uncle Mo, all right, does not exist. And my proof on that, here's more proof that Uncle Mo does not exist. Otherwise, Milwaukee would have won both games in Canada because they had Uncle Mo. They had the lion's share of Uncle Mo. They had won the two games back in Wisconsin. And so they go out and they lost a game where Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't play very well. In the first game in Toronto, didn't shoot the ball particularly well, was kind of out of it. And then in this game, he didn't play terribly offensively. Nobody played any defense, but the mainstream media establishment cover the NBA. They repeat these things. Oh, turning point and changing series, you know, changing moment in the series, and all these little catchphrases. Let me be very clear. Until the Raptors win a game in Wisconsin, they are not in control of anything. They're not. I mean, maybe they can get some good cheese curds and they're in control of that, but that's about it. And a nice sausage in Wisconsin. Now, B, as far as just this night, all right, just this night, forget the phrase fear the deer. It's more like deer in the headlights, because that was how the Milwaukee Bucks performed in this game. You had two guys who showed up and brought it offensively, and even that was sporadic. Chris Middleton was great the entire game, but Giannis Antetokounmpo in stretches. They combined for 55 points. They shot over 60%. Neither of them played much defense. And it's hard to praise Giannis. He even had an air ball. I mean, what is he, Shaquille O'Neal shooting an air ball? What's up? That's his second air ball, I think, in this series. Bad job. That's outrageous. The rest of the Bucks roster, not named Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, they played similar to the smell of Limburger cheese. They shot collectively 35%. That was a foobar performance all the way around. And after the first quarter, the Bucks buckled. They had 12 minutes, and the other 36 minutes were, it's like a slow death march. Death by a thousand paper cuts, a demoralizing performance. And the backups for Milwaukee, which had been celebrated and canonized for their performance in some of these playoff games, Malcolm Brogdon, Pat Connaughton, Eric Bledsoe, they were all bad. Well, Bledsoe's actually a starter, but it was a substandard performance, and there was one stretch, 5 minutes of hell, that did in the Milwaukee Bucks in particular. The lineup of George Hill, Chris Middleton, Nikola Mirotic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Pat Connaughton, that lineup was on the floor for 5 minutes. How did they do? About as well as Asbestos does. They played like that. They were outscored 15-1 Milwaukee with those guys on. They're outscored by 14 points. Now, they lost by 18, but they were outscored by 14 points in 5 minutes, missed all seven shots, got out-rebounded by seven. It was a basketball catastrophe for 5 minutes. Now, keep in mind that this is all going to change. The script is going to flip when they go back to Wisconsin. The backups play better at home. That's been the way it's gone in the NBA pretty much my entire life. The backup players do better usually at home. They don't do that well on the road. So I would expect a 180 in this setup going back to Wisconsin. But the Bucks are fortunate that the series is tied 2-2, because remember, it was the Raptors that were the choking dogs. I think it was game two back in Milwaukee when they had a big lead with 3 minutes to go in the game, and they actually, the entire fourth quarter, they just imploded in the fourth quarter. I think it was game two. They gave the game away. So now, that said, if you gave me $1,000 and said, hey, you got to bet on either Milwaukee or Toronto, I'm going to bet on the Bucks, which ought to scare every man, woman, and child in the state of Wisconsin. But I would take the Milwaukee Bucks, and home court is a large, gigantic, enormous factor in this. And I still believe in the end, if it does come to a game seven, Toronto is going to choke it away. And even if they don't choke it away, based on some deep state conspiracy chatter, Toronto better win in six. They've got to win the next couple games. They got to win four in a row. And the reason they got to win four in a row, because if it goes seven, they are going to be shorthanded. Milwaukee will have an 8-on-5 power play advantage, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, in that particular game. All right, last word on this. Now, the real winner of what looks to be a elongated seven-game series between Milwaukee and Toronto is yet again the Golden State Warriors, the Dubs. They win yet again. Steph Curry right now is relaxing, having a Mai Tai, and sitting by the bay there in the Bay Area, just enjoying himself. And the Raptors and Bucks, they're going to go 12 rounds trading haymakers here, and it only helps the Warriors. And I don't want to hear, what about the rust? Shut up. Shut up. I hate that rust versus rest jargon that gets repeated, that mantra. And it's just crazy. And by the way, watching the first four games of this Milwaukee-Toronto series, I know it's hip. I talked about this the other day. There are people that like to pick whoever wins the series. They're going to beat Golden State because they want to be the person that's the upset person. You only remember the upset person if they get the pick right. If they get the pick wrong, kind of fades away. But who are we kidding here? Neither Milwaukee or Toronto has a shot of beating Golden State. They'll be lucky if they win one game against the Golden State Warriors. So it's inevitable the Warriors are going to win again, but it's just getting to that particular point. All right, here's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. Let's hear from some of the participants here. Mike Budenholzer, who was held scoreless by the Toronto Raptors defensively. Oh, that's right, because he's a coach. And he looks very disheveled. Doesn't Mike Budenholzer look... He looks kind of like he's had a very stressful week and he hasn't slept in a long time. And he needs to eat better. Anyway, here's Mike. And his hair's always messed up, too. Here's Mike Budenholzer, who was asked very simply here, now that you've lost two games in a row, are you going to be throwing darts when it comes to the lineup?
Well, you know, I mean, this group has been great. You know, we're... certainly going to look at the film and look at everything. You consider everything. You know, we got a couple days between now and the game, and we'll evaluate it.
Glad you're going to evaluate it. Yeah. Let's go to the tape. The greatest cop-out answer in the history of pro sports. I got to watch the tape. Yeah, exactly. No one ever asks a follow-up. Well, you watched the tape. What did you see? Then they say, well, we got to move on to the next game. Yeah, it's like college football coaches and basketball coaches. Well, I need an 8-year contract because I'm going to be bringing in recruits and they have to know I'm going to be here. And I'm sure. Here's more from Mike Budenholzer. Now, Coach Budenholzer, were you kicked? Were you punched? Were you kneed in the groin? What exactly did Toronto do to you?
We got punched.
Oh, punched.
You know,
okay,
they played really well. So in that sense, you know, can we go home and get ready for another battle, and I'll be ready to go. I totally believe in game five we'll be ready.
You're telling me the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks thinks his team's going to be ready for a playoff game? That is a revelation. I didn't see that coming. I don't know if you saw that coming. I am shocked. You're telling me a head coach of an NBA team whose job is to get his team prepared thinks his team is going to be prepared for a playoff game at home? Wow. Wow. Was that his knee-jerk reaction? I don't know. All right, let's move on. How about Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, I would assume if you're Milwaukee, you have an immense amount of pressure. The reason you have an immense amount of pressure is because if you choke and lose game five at home, Toronto can then win in game six back on their home court, so you got to win. Giannis, you feel it. You look like you're about to choke, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Obviously, we got to take it off home. It's our job, but I don't think there's pressure.
What?
You know, we just got to go out there, have fun, play good basketball,
have fun.
Us,
no.
Try to win.
No, don't have fun. No, do not have fun. No, it's a job. Do not. You have fun, you go through the motions. All right, here's one more from Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm sure you guys are a broken team. You yourself, two losses in a row. You've got to be devastated. Your aspirations of winning a championship now are in trouble. Right, Giannis? You're concerned. Admit it.
We've been playing good basketball, you know, the whole year. Obviously, you know, if you lose one or two games, you know, it's not the end of the world. Realize, you know, where we are right now. We realize the opportunity that we have. But at the end of the day, you know,
end of the day.
Habits, you know, all season long. So we're not going to lose, you know, our confidence. We're going to keep believing in our habits, you know, keep trusting one another. And it's going to take care of itself. At the end of the day, if
we end of the day again.
Do the right thing,
how many days?
You know, we still believe in our habits and we still trust one another, and it doesn't take care of itself. You know, we did our job, and that's what it's all about. Yeah.
I'd like to get at the start of the day as the new crutch for athletes to use. At the start of the day, we've got to, rather than the end of the day, at the start of the day. Oh, Kyle Lowry on the TV broadcast, the TNT broadcast after the game, he was a walking, talking sports cliche, one after another, Machine Gun Kelly-style sports cliche from Kyle Lowry after the game. It is the Ben Maller Show on Fox as we press on, and we say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas Solid Gold Garcia. So I had an awkward moment, Eddie, when I came to work. And
Oh, really?
I try to avoid awkward moments. As you know, I'm very...
But you're kind of awkward to begin with people.
Well, I am. This does not involve... Well, in a way, it involves communication, but it was not words. So I'm at the corner of Ventura and Sepulveda, turning left, as I normally do.
Two major streets here in the Los Angeles area.
I would say the longest... crosswalk in Los Angeles. Is there anyone bigger to cross when you're going to the gym over there? It's a massive, you've got to hustle.
It's pretty long. Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm turning left as I usually do, and I've been doing this for 20 years, and so I'm stopped. There's a car in front of me. Signal turns green. Left-hand arrow turns green. Person doesn't move. So I start honking my horn. I got to go to work. Well, apparently the person works here in the building, Eddie, and I ended up following the person into the parking garage, and then we parked next to each other.
Do you think they thought for a second, oh my God, this guy is like mad at me because I didn't go, he's coming after me?
I don't know the person, but it made for very awkward, like I stayed in the car, I want to let them get out, I don't want to get out of the car.
Was this a Steve Harvey Show person?
No, it wasn't a Steve Harvey, it was somebody that I think works upstairs.
In the big
somewhere.
Building.
Yeah. I don't really know.
They probably listen to us right now, maybe they work in the NOC.
Yeah, I'm not sure what exactly
the
they
network
do.
Operation Center.
Yes, that's the
knock.
Yeah, very important. That's the brains of the operation. Anyway, so we waited for kind of an awkward situation. So that's be careful who you honk at.
At least you didn't give him the bird.
But I mean, the guy was like he was text messengers or something like that.
Oh, it happens all the time.
I was trying to turn, and I was like, I'm in a hurry. I got to get in here. I mean, doing God's work. It's very important. Might miss a score or something like that. I mean, the show would go to hell. Just be terrible, Eddie. That was my experience.
It's a little awkward, yeah.
Yeah. Also, like to point out, Eddie, I talked to the big boss earlier this week. We will have live original shows on the holiday, which is this weekend. Holiday weekend, Eddie.
I'm all aware of the weekend.
I am not corporate at all. I will be here. I will be slaving away over this hot microphone, like somebody I used to work with would say, and I will be doing God's Work Holiday Radio. I love holiday radio. Me and all my friends, me and Dick in Dayton and Marcel in Brooklyn, if he's not on vacation with his cousin Dynamite or Uncle Dynamite there in New Jersey, and Helmet Man, all the superheroes of talk radio, Cowboy in Windsor. Yeah, it's no holiday in Canada, so we'll have a good time.
I mean, I think you're right about that.
They just call it a Monday is what they call it in Canada. So we'll have all that, all the festivities, live radio, all the holiday.
How's the boss doing these days? I haven't seen him in... months.
I haven't seen him either. I didn't like talk to him face to face.
No,
I didn't see him. Yeah. It was just an expression, Eddie. I did exchange emails. There was an email exchange.
Oh, well, that's big for you.
Yes.
You don't do the email thing.
Well, I don't
often.
Check the company email.
Which is always a good idea for anyone who works in a company.
Well, the reason when they get rid of you, and I learned this because they did get rid of me, Eddie, in 2009, the worst decision Fox Sports Radio has ever made, 6 months, 26 days of unemployment. But when they got rid of me, the first thing they do before you can even check your company email is shut your company email down. So why would you use it if that's going to go away at some point? No,
It's not a great rationale for why you should not use the company email.
It's a great rationale. Plus, they change the password every like 2 weeks.
Now, if you work during the day, would you use the company email? Because you can find out that there are tacos on the third floor and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
All right? I mean, it's useless for us. As a matter of fact, it's like a tease for us when they do that. It's very annoying.
We get cupcakes or whatever on the in the break room. That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
And, uh, yeah. Or... How about this? Tickets to a concert. You can get tickets to a concert.
Yeah.
Have some extra tickets.
I think one of the worst ones was the In-N-Out truck is here. You know, they have that like traveling kitchen sometimes that comes around and gives you free burgers.
They don't have fries on the In-N-Out truck, though. I've
noticed really?
That. No, they have chips. They don't have the they don't have the deep fryers in the truck, which is
about you're right about
some
that,
kind
yeah.
of safety hazard.
I used to go to UCLA football games at the Rose Bowl. They would have the In-N-Out truck there, but they never had the fries, and it always bothered me.
to this day.
It's not the full In-N-Out experience without the French fries.
That is accurate.
It's you're lacking something. You
got to have those animal fries.
You can do that. You know, if that's more advanced. That's a more advanced way to eat In-N-Out. I like the grilled onions. That's what
I used to go get gas at a certain place that was because it was right next to the In-N-Out. And while I was pumping my gas, I could smell the grilled onions.
Oh, are you talking about that Shell station over here?
No, it's not the one
near us.
No, it's near
where you live. Yeah. Okay, I got you. Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So we know the Toronto Raptors came back and beat the Milwaukee Bucks in a series that has seen the ratings go down almost 50%. And that was part of the story as the commissioner of the NBA vented. I don't know if vented is the right word. He talked. He's very loquacious during an interview at the NBA's headquarters in Manhattan. Now, the NBA is a national operation. I think you know this. They've got teams all over the United States and one team in Canada. But they are clearly in the tank if you live in the Eastern time zone. The TV ratings, as we talked about here the last hour or so, are down, down, down. How low can you go? Because of the Toronto market. And now that is generally regarded as a wellness check on your sport, right? When you're not doing well, you need a wellness check. You need a checkup. You need some kind of medication. So Adam Silver was interviewed on the Today Show, I believe, and was asked about this. I don't know if you saw the interview. I did not see it live because I was sleeping. But it was about 30 minutes, almost 30 minutes of content there. And it was mostly politically correct jargon. Adam Silver doing a victory lap about wanting half the women to be officials and coaches to be women and all this stuff. It's a lot of PC stuff. He's running around doing a victory lap, taking a bow. And Adam Silver blamed LeBron James signing with the misfit Lakers for the ratings decline. I'm not just saying he intimated that. He pretty much said it. In fact, we have his own words, the commissioner of the NBA, pointing out his theory on why the TV ratings are down.
Why do you think you have fewer people watching the basketball players?
I think it was mainly in the early round. I mean, face it, LeBron is one of the biggest stars in the world, and he also played in the East. And so, you know, the reason I look a little bit tired is a lot of our games are in the West, and it's late at night, and I recognize most people choose to go to sleep at a reasonable time. And so from a rating standpoint, not having LeBron in the playoffs, not having him in the East has clearly impacted ratings.
I would say a reasonable time is about 6 in the morning when the show ends. That's a reasonable time. More elitist, highbrow nonsense from the NBA. Totally discounting people that work the third shift, people that are up all night, people that have insomnia. You know, it just shows you that the commissioner is not very caring about us, people that work overnights. Doesn't worry about us. It's only worried about the people that work during the day. And the reason you look disheveled, like you don't get a lot of sleep, Adam Silver, is because you are from outside the Milky Way galaxy and you are far away from home. That's why you feel the way you are. But if you have a problem, you need a solution. And that was brought up as well, the possibility of moving games on the West Coast up earlier to accommodate people who live in the Eastern time zone. Listen to the commission.
Sometimes I forget 50% of television households in this country are in the Eastern time zone. And so if your West Coast games start at 10:30 at night in the East, you're invariably going to lose a lot of viewers who are around 11, 11:30. I mean, you can just chart it. You see how many television households turn off, you know, around 11:15, 11:30 at night just because people have to get up for work in the morning. I mean, it is something we can address. We're talking about it. I mean, it would obviously be less convenient to those fans on the West Coast if we played even earlier. I mean, even just think about people getting to those arenas after work. If you start a game at 6 p.m. local time in the West, it's not the most convenient thing. It's not that as convenient for a television watcher on the West Coast either. But when you look at the league from a national standpoint, it may make sense to play a little bit earlier in the West, and that's something we're going to talk to our teams about this summer.
All right, so let's discuss. The question is this. What do you make? You heard the sound bites there. Those are the key sound bites. What do you make of Adam Silver's plan? It's going to be talked about in the offseason to move up West Coast games earlier to accommodate a television audience on the East Coast. And I'm telling you, if this happens, it'll happen in baseball also and hockey. If the NBA is successful at doing this, they will do it in other sports, the copycats around professional sports in America. We'll do it. My knee-jerk reaction was to quote Derek Coleman, this old NBA player, whoop-de-damn-do was my initial reaction. But I've also got Hijacked, Algebra, and the House of Cards. And we'll put all of this on a tray and we'll make some chicken and dumplings is what we're going to do. Now, number one, Adam Silver, who is revered. He has canonized himself by the NBA media establishment, and he's a dope. On this one, he's absolutely a dope. Adam Silver sounds like some of his players after postseason losses making excuses, right? You've got the LeBron James boogeyman, and you're going to blame all the problems on the NBA TV ratings on LeBron James. It just shows you you're lazy, right? It's a bunch of poppycock. It is a referendum on the entire NBA product as a whole. Now, I like the NBA, and I watch. It's part of the job. But I will admit the product on many nights is not that good. It was William Shakespeare. I like to quote Shakespeare because people think I'm smarter than I am. But William Shakespeare cooked up the famous quote in one of his plays, "Too much of a good thing," right? And I'm referring to the preoccupation with the three-point shot. The NBA in recent years has been hijacked by nerds, and the supercomputers tell you you're better off shooting a three-point shot than you are shooting a shot that's a 2-point 20-foot jump shot. The math says that's the way to do it. And I'm a guy that grew up, my nickname was Moneyball Maller. I was an outside gunner. I was an outside shooter back in the day. I love the outside shot. But you know what I also like? I also like shots around the basket. I don't mind the mid-range jump shot. Call me a Neanderthal. But this is, it's too much. It's boring. Basketball, when played properly, is a beautiful game. Teamwork, there's a certain cadence to it. And on the NBA schedule, most nights, it's like a papa shot contest. And it's who can shoot as many three-point shots. And the teams trade off missing three-point shots. And it goes back and forth like a seesaw. It sucks, right? That's the first thing I would do to change it. Now, second thing, Adam Silver's plan to make West Coast games go to an earlier TV window, this is going to backfire. It's going to blow up into his face is what it's going to do. And I'll tell you why, right? You're using LeBron James as the barometer. And the assumption would be the reason the NBA would move up these games is so they could show LeBron James at 6 o'clock, which is 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock L.A. time, which is 9 o'clock on the East Coast. But LeBron James at this point is a falling knife. Have you ever tried to catch a falling knife? What happens if you catch a knife's falling and you grab it? You're going to slice your hand up. There'll be blood in the air everywhere. Don't try to catch a falling knife. LeBron is going to be 35 years old by the time the next NBA postseason comes around. He's got a lot of miles on his body. And King James, he only played 55 games this past year with the groin injury. And this is going to be the new normal. Right? That's going to be the new normal going forward for LeBron James, right? I mean, he's on the fast track to the twilight of his basketball career. That's why he chose to go to the Lakers, because he wanted to be closer for his other business, his post-playing career days in the movie business in Hollywood. Now, he would like to make god-awful TV and movies, and he's on his way. Have you seen The Shop? Yeah, it sucks. But let me give you some Mahler algebra. Not Mahler math, Mahler algebra, which is a form of math. Older people plus athletic competition equal what? That's right. Injuries. Ding, 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 ding. LeBron James is going to be injury prone the rest of his career. That is a fact. And so you're telling me you're going to change the start times to inconvenience the people that actually pay for the tickets that go to the games. Who cares about them? It's all about TV, right? TV is what is the real sugar daddy of all this. But you're going to change the start times to screw the West Coast fan because of a rapidly aging NBA player? What a dumbo. And by the way, right, you go further here, make sure you just provide LeBron with some extra oil there because you know he's a little stiff and squeaky like the Tin Man there because his body's getting older. Now, the final point, Adam Silver. He's trying to drive down Easy Avenue is what he's trying to do, and his instincts are completely wrong when you talk about West Coast time change. I've been in the radio business a long time. The only people that have regularly complained and bitched and moaned about night NBA games are morning talk show hosts that don't want to go short on sleep. They already go short on sleep, so they complain. I know in Boston there's a guy, Jerry Callahan, who I've known for years, and Jerry always complains about the start time of West Coast games. And there's a bunch of other blowhards on the radio who bitch and moan about start times of West Coast games because they're worried about themselves, right? They're worried about themselves, and they complain about it, and they go to bed at 9 o'clock. They're supposed to go to bed at 9 o'clock. But here's the way I look at it. If the game's big enough, the audience will be there, right? If you build it, they will come. I learned that in a movie years ago. Moving up start times is it's a Spider-Man Band-Aid to a cut the size of Lake Michigan. It ain't going to work. It's a house of cards situation. You're going to be playing games on the West Coast in half-empty arenas. Have you ever seen the traffic in San Francisco or in Los Angeles? And those are the two prime markets, right? The Warriors and you got the Lakers and the Clippers. Like rush hour in L.A. goes from about 1 o'clock in the afternoon to about 9 o'clock, give or take. I'm not exaggerating. It goes on all day. And how much juice does a game have when there's no one in the arena? Like, yeah, you could start the games at 6 o'clock West Coast time. No one will be there. They won't show up until maybe the second half. Now, my theory on the NBA's quagmire is that they should fire their marketing people. Because what's really going on here, and Adam Silver doesn't want to address the Komodo dragon in the room, but they have been unable, the NBA marketing people, to sell the other young players who play in the Eastern time zone. Right? Much like another well-known, and I would say pretty much any entertainment-based outfit, content is king. The marketing arm of the NBA is failing the NBA. They have been unable to get the players who are gifted, talented players to create these guys into compelling characters to get average consumers to go out of their way to watch them play. And so instead, they're going on their crutch, which is LeBron James. It is an indictment of the NBA marketing. It's also a referendum on Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's in the Eastern Conference, and Kawhi Leonard. These are the headliners of the NBA's Eastern Conference. Also, Kyrie Irving with the Celtics. Adam Silver is implying in a roundabout way that these young players simply don't move the needle. And so they have to move up start times for LeBron James. Way to have faith in your product. This is good leadership? It's like, we're going to look for a shortcut. Right? That's what we're going to do because we can't market anyone else and people only watch LeBron James. What are LeBron's going to be out of the NBA in a couple years. The way he's going, he might be out of the NBA in a couple years. So what are you going to do then? Right? Come on. All right, it's the Ben Maller Show. How about the Golden State Warriors too? It's like, well, are people not watching the Golden State Warriors? If they start at 5 o'clock, everyone would be fascinated by the Golden State Warriors. Anyway, it's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund, Dallas, Steamboat, Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia.
We are spoiled living on the West Coast, though, with being able to watch these games. I don't know how they do it in the East, to be honest with you. I mean, most of the population of the country is on the eastern side of the United States.
It's about 50-50.
I don't think that's true.
It is actually true. The eastern time zone versus the western time zone, if you look at the population, I've looked at it, it's about 50%. So you're saying that 50% is more valuable than the other. Right? It's like 55% or something like that. It's California's humongous, Eddie.
It is, but you're talking Boston, New York, Philadelphia.
No, I understand.
I mean,
that.
There's
you
some,
have your own East Coast bias, Eddie.
I guess I do.
Yeah, you do. Look at you. That could be a new nickname, East Coast bias. That could be.
No, they're screwed. Those people are screwed.
They're screwed, is that?
Yeah, I mean, are you kidding me? If you want to watch a West Coast game, you got to stay up till 10 o'clock at night? Hell no.
What's wrong with
that.
Staying up late at night? What's wrong with that?
People are not like us. Most people have normal hours.
I don't know about that. We have a lot of people who listen to the show that work all kinds of crazy hours.
We're talking about the majority of people here. The majority.
I'm not worried
about
them. I'm not.
You're not worried about
the majority. Yeah. I'm worried about my people, Eddie.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the third shift workers. What I'm worried about. You're worried about people who work 9 to 5.
You're worried
who cares
about
them? I don't work 9 to 5. If I had a day part 9 to 5, I'd be worried about them. I'm not worried about them. Screw them. I'm worried about the third shift, the people with insomnia.
How about the
podcast
listeners?
That's what I'm worried about. What's that? Screw the podcast listeners.
Wow.
I'm worried about the live listeners.
That's terrible.
That's right. That's what Coop told me to say. Screw the podcast listeners. That's what he told me. Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Digging your own grave right there.
I'm not digging any grave. It's the truth. You're worried about 9 to 5 workers. I'm worried about the live audience.
I'm talking about the discussion we were having. Most people that work during the day they live on the East Coast are screwed by these start times.
I don't think they are.
They are.
I don't. I've spent a lot of time on the East Coast. I've been able to watch games when I've been back there. No big deal.
You don't work 9 to 5. You're up all night.
So there's a lot of people that work all night. Who cares?
Not a lot of people.
There
Most
are
people
a lot
don't.
Of people that work all night. Absolutely.
Not really.
Tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons. All right, so the Ben Maller Show on Fox. Let's take some calls here. Let's go to Christopher in Houston, who's next on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, used to be a regular. Now he's a semi-regular because the Rockets suck. Hello, Christopher.
Really? Really? Well, you know what? The best team in baseball, baby, the Astros. You know what it is, Ben.
Until the playoffs, they'll lose.
But, Ben, we're talking about these ratings and Adam Silver and his little sniveling way. I always say he's stuck on his players' thing. How about making the league competitive? How about these teams not just tanking just to tank as soon as the season starts? How about that? How about make some incentive to make these teams want to win? I mean, come on, man. It's just ridiculous for him to sit here and talk about, well, LeBron's not in the playoffs. Well, hey, dummy. Hey, the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors put up rating. It's called a competitive series.
Yeah. No, listen, he's trying to take the easy road here, Adam Silver. And a lot of the media are dumb, and they'll be like, oh, that's a good idea. I think Adam's right. They should start games earlier. And you know, people like Eddie over there. And I'm like, no, this is ridiculous. You're not going to you're going to screw over your paying customers who go to these games on the West Coast who aren't on the Eastern time zone. It's ridiculous.
You know what? It's one good thing. People are never happy. Put it like
well,
that.
That's
They're
true.
Never
that's
happy. Right. They're going to complain and say, hey, well, I'm stuck in traffic and I can't catch the first 5 minutes of the game because you moved the game up.
Well, this stuff's cyclical, too. At some point, there'll be another great dominant force in the Eastern Conference. And so you don't have to worry about it. It's a temporary, it's a long-term solution to a temporary problem, which you don't need.
I got an idea. How about they get Giannis a speech coach?
Wow, that's a low. How dare you? That is a cheap shot.
They're trying to put him as the face of the NBA, but the guy can barely speak. And I mean, I love his game, but I mean, listen to him talking.
Racist.
Like,
well, let's hear your Greek.
At the end of the day, I don't like that. How dare you? I don't like that at all. Listen, Giannis is fine. At least he's true. I'll give Giannis credit. Unlike there are some guys that don't speak English that well that hide behind interpreters. At least Giannis is out there doing his thing. He's trying to communicate. And he's gotten better. I don't have a problem with Giannis.
It's all of them, though.
That's a lot.
Is like the universal thing in the NBA.
Mixed with sports cliches, a steady diet of sports cliches. You got to mix and match all that stuff.
And they're back at, you know what, we got to get in our Laker haters unite, Ben. Haters unite, Ben.
Rob Pelinka for GM of the year. I think he's doing a great job, Rob Pelinka. That's a well-run organization right there. That's a fine-oiled operation there, the Lakers.
Fine-oiled operation. How about you bring in Ben, who is it, Ben, the guy from KISS. You bring him in.
Who?
He can give some keys. He can bring in some players, bring his ideas.
You talking about Gene Simmons?
Gene Simmons.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Bring in Ozzy. Come on, let's bring him. Bring all the stars in.
Well, Kardashians and Khloe Kardashian likes NBA players. They can bring her in, right?
Yeah. George Lopez, Kanye West.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's bring them all in.
Is Diane Cannon still alive? They can put her out. She used to be a big celebrity Laker fan. They can put her back out there. Yeah. Jack doesn't even go to the games that much anymore. He's giving up on that. He's like, I go every once in a while.
Oh, they'll be back. They'll be back, Ben. All it takes is for the Lakers to go. Didn't they raise their prices on their tickets?
Yeah, not only did they raise their prices, but this was last year, and when they brought LeBron in and they made people sign contracts for like 3 years to buy luxury boxes. They just completely screwed them over. But they could do it. They had the product. They thought they had the product. They turned out they didn't have the product. The product sucks. All right, thank you, Chris. I got to go.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Kubaloo.
Now, there's something that happened in the Cubs-Nationals game on Saturday that we haven't talked about, and it turned into a little bit of a fiasco. Now, Joe Maddon came out during the ninth inning to protest that Sean Doolittle's toe-tap delivery is illegal. Now, the umps disagreed, and Maddon subsequently filed protests with the league. Now, Maddon has dropped the protest, but still insists that Doolittle's move should be illegal. Do you agree, Ben?
All right, so I disagree with Joe Maddon on this. It is technically against the rules right now in baseball, but if you look at the letter of the law, you know, Rule 5.07 says a pitcher may not take a second step towards home plate with either foot. But this is where legalese gets involved here. Is a toe tap a step? This is not egregious. I have no problem with it. And B, this is in the gamesmanship category. I like pitchers. I've always liked pitchers that have quirky deliveries. I like, you know, Johnny Cueto doing the shimmy. He's hurt right now with the Giants. The submarine pitchers, the sidearm pitchers. I like that. I like changing it up. I like the deception. It's all about throwing the hitter's timing off. Next.
Ben, the Dodgers own the two longest scoreless inning streaks in history with Oral Hershiser's 59 innings, followed by Don Drysdale at 58. Yeah. Ben, Hyunjin Ryu is currently at 31 scoreless. How many more does he need to throw before it's acceptable to get excited about a potential record breaker?
All right. Well, anyway, listen, the number's 50, all right? You got to get to 50 innings. That sets you up to walk in the footsteps of Dodger legends. So and there'll be a circus around Ryu if he gets to 50. And what a great decision he made, taking the one-year qualifying offer. He's making like $18 million. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Next. Hurry up, quickly. No?
You said quickly.
You said him.
The Western Conference Final Brothers Showdown was a bit of a dud as Steph swept Seth. Naturally, Steph has come some encouraging things to say after the sweep.
You're in a hurry, Coop.
Ben, was there anything that you were much better at than your brothers?
Oh, you lose, Coop.
No, you lose. Not enough time.
You didn't go quick.
You fail.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And we are in the middle of Password. Well, actually, we're not in the middle. We're going to start the game. We introduced our contestants. If you're late to the party, the matchup, we've got Damian in Oceanside, and he will be matched up with Kubaloo down San Diego way, and Lynn from the Cape, and she is matched up with me, Ben. This portion of the show, Password, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you, so we'll put everyone back on the air. Hey, Lynn, how'd those pictures come out, by the way, Lynn? Did they come out all right?
Yeah, even though it was that old-time camera you told me.
I had not seen. No, I love that, Lynn. Lynn brought one of those disposable cameras to the event. I had not seen one of those in a long time. I thought it was great. Yeah,
I'm your throwback girl. What can I say?
I understand. All right, well, Damian, you were on the air first, so please pick a number 1 to 10. That will be the first word that we use, and you listening can play the home version of the game.
7.
Number 7. All right, cool. Number 7.
All right, let's go with a tire.
Wheel.
Too late.
He's at wheel.
I'm only going to say one word. It's never going to be two words. So I meant like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So he said a tire. I'm going to say, how about this one, Lynn? Let's say sports.
Wow.
Everything's tied together. That's how Password works.
Yeah. Shift. I don't know.
Shift? Okay. I'm glad you said that, not the other word. Okay.
All
right. Back to Coop. Okay.
All right. So you heard Ben's clue. Tie it together with this. I'm going to go with...
Leave me out of it.
Costume. Remember, it's all related.
Yeah. You can lead a horse to water.
Not helping.
Can't.
All right, mascot.
No. All right, let's go. I said sports last time. How about outfit? Lynn out.
Boy.
All right.
Fred? I don't know.
No, okay. All right. Go
ahead. One more.
I got one more. All right.
Let's go with.
Come on.
Military.
Fuck.
You can't say that, dummy. All right, no. All right, let me try my last
one. My bad.
That's your guy, Coop. All right,
I'm gonna
go. How about this one, Lynn? This is my best clue yet. Let's go with Jersey. Oh, come on! I'm leading you right to the basket. There's a layup line. No. All right. We were looking. That was a lot of work to not get to the word uniform. We were trying to find a uniform, and some outfit, costume,
sports, costume,
jersey. These are all part of a uniform. All right. Anyway, we throw it out. Hey, Lynn, we are up. Pick a number 1 to 10, but not 7. We're playing Password, the word game of the stars.
I'll try harder here. Number five.
All right. We're going to get number five.
I would hope so.
Well, don't say it like that. I mean, you don't have to put pressure on me and all that. Let's go with, how about feeble?
What?
What?
Do once more, Ben.
Feeble, F-E-E-B-L-E. Yeah. These guys don't have the...
Weak.
They don't have
the, it's a terrible
no.
clue.
No, that's you. No, it's not.
A good guess,
Lynn.
It's a terrible clue.
No, it was great. Go, like, you think Coop's going to get anything? Come on.
It'll be better than that.
No, it won't. The guy just said the F word. He's on the radio. Come on.
Yeah. My bad.
All right, I'm going to go with squishy.
I stand corrected.
Ain't so easy over there, Coop, is it, huh? Ain't so easy, huh? Yeah. Come on. Jump, jump.
Play-Doh.
Yeah. Play-Doh. Let's go with, let's see here. How about we go with, I said feeble. You ripped me on that. Let's go with.
Skin's tough, dude.
Let's go with gentle. This game's getting harder and harder every week. Yeah. It's all right, Liv. You don't have anything. It's all right. No.
Stop. Oh, no! No!
Lynn! I'm going to give you a hug, Liv.
We got time. Yeah! We have time.
No, you don't.
Pick a number, Damien. Pick a number. Pick a number.
Three.
All right. Damien, there's no chance you'll get this. I'm going to go with Tempest.
Oh, come on. Guys, smoking weed in a parking lot. What's wrong with you, man?
Cool.
No.
You should have used the Mallard maneuver.
Yeah. Thunder.
Thunder.
Yeah. Thunder. We won the game, Lynn.
Thank God
we
it's over.
We won the game. I win again, Lynn.
Got a murder. Got to go.
Golden ticket for Lynn. I win.